Welcome back
to Depravity.
I'm pleased that we're on track with destroy location every episode.
Oh,
certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're
doing this.
Going reckoning back to season one. This is Bits Before Crits, an improvised adventure podcast. I'm Dean Beckwith.
Hi, I'm Maureen Fenninger.
I'm Tyler Kaz.
And I am Jamie Green.
And we're picking up back in the deep, dark world of Cthulhu.
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 I'm going to go under the assumption that we are not, in fact, visiting Marco's the night of the crash.
I mean,
given the levels of damage everyone's taken.
I'm very afraid that if we visited Marco's, I would just die there.
Follow Dean's lead.
Well, 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 what have we here? A shitload full of no fucking money. Oh, my darling, that's not nearly good enough. Yeah, doggy style was never my thing. I get my spin with the other men. Then, honey, 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 guess what? I never did care for waiting. I better like compensating. And mama just taught me one thing. So don't just like it again.
Well, I want to kind of montage into the next day.
"'Twas a foggy, foggy night.
"'Twas a foggy, foggy night.
Around 4 a.m.
The steam is billowing out of the dented, cracked hood of the fancy car that Marco lent.
I'm assuming we fled on foot from the scene.
Yeah, you both had an unconscious Tui, as well as a bunch of stuff in the back of the vehicle, which has a flat tire, but also a spare tire, but it's pretty busted.
Did we just take the goods and did we leave the chicken feed? I don't know why I, as the player, feel like this is an important question.
I think the goods are secluded in the bottom of the chicken feed. Luckily, there's only a little bit left after a day of distribution. But you are carrying back many of these back to Quinta's Inn. You're afraid the whole way back. Scared that this Jimmy might show up again. But luckily, you make it back to Quinta's place, with the only sound being the crunching of gravel beneath your feet. And you put Tui to sleep in her bed, where she has fitful but aesthetic dreams.
Edith takes the remaining lavender snow back to her room, kind of plops down on the folded-down toilet seat, and starts to grab some first aid supplies to tend to her wounds. Chief amongst them is a big cut that she received on the side of her face. Mm-hmm. That's going to require a few stitches. Probably going to leave a scar a bit there. She takes a stitching sewing kit, which she always keeps on her just in case she gets into a really bad bout, and swigs down some more of her personal stash of liquor and starts to sew.
I think Hans stumbles into his room and empties his pockets, which were full of chicken feed. And
you're immediately swarmed by your friends.
I mean, yeah. thank you. Thank you for the closeness. Please take this. Take this dinner and hold me while I rest.
They peck.
They peck you all over, but you're
Hans just passes out.
Yeah.
He's on the bed.
And Tui, I'm curious what your dreams might be like. This is the first time your body has been damaged in any way, shape, or form.
She certainly has nightmares all night, twisting, turning, more sensory than experiential, you know, when sometimes you just wake up and the dreams was more like a feeling than like a movie. The sound of screeching tires are vaguely there. There's like a deep blaring of a foghorn. She feels like she's being watched, you know. It's just these like very unpleasant sensations. She tosses, she turns.
I will say the one sort of filmic element of your dream is when you feel like you're being watched. You look out and you feel as though you are painted on the silver screen in black and white, and you're looking out and you see the movie theater full of people, full of eyes, laughing.
But the laughter doesn't reach their eyes. Their eyes are wide open, mm-hmm. corners uncrinkled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But everyone can indeed recover their end-of-scene consequences as well as all strain. And we wake up Sunday morning. Sunday is also a day off.
Is Marco expecting me and Edith?
Not today. Not today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even the mafia has to take a day off.
Sunday.
Sunday. So, is it time to spend with your mother? Huh?
So just to be clear, the car was left exactly where it remained.
If you left it back there, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So you
well,
might...
we don't. Maybe it got towed, but we wouldn't know.
You know what? Let's start with a nice little warm breakfast scene. She doesn't usually cook breakfast, but every Sunday, Quinta makes the most delicious hash with chorizo, eggs, fried potatoes, all tossed together. And as you come into the kitchen in various states of embarrassment, she looks at Edith and says, "Well, you haven't exactly been taking care of them now, have you? Looks like y'all had a rough night."
Shut the hell up, Quinta.
Tui, who is in a long robe, mm-hmm. covers all the way down to the floor, it covers her arms, you just see like her fingertips, who for the first time ever has dark circles under her eyes, looks at Quinta and says, "What do you mean? I do not look taken care of. What is this?"
Edith looks over at Tui, sees the dark circles under her eyes and says, "You know what, Tui, why don't you grab a seat?" And Edith turns a chair out, almost in a motherly fashion, kind of ushers her to sit down.
Ans looks at Quinta and says, "What do you mean? Tui is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Not a blemish upon her face ever." And then he looks at Tui and says, well, Tui looks at Edith and says, kind of shakes his head.
And Edith is mouthing, "Don't."
"Is yell something on my face?"
"No, no, there is absolutely nothing on your beautiful face. You are flawless."
"See, I understand."
Tui picks up a spoon and holds it up to her face, and she sees something's under her eye. "Was that, did one of you put makeup on me in my sleep?"
Edith grabs a spoon and says, "Quinta, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. These were not cleaned properly. Jesus Christ." And
that's awesome. Please roll a moxie. Just the sheer balls.
The cojones.
8.
Quinta takes the spoon and says, "Oh, you're right. I've just been so busy lately. Let me clean that for you. You look gorgeous, Tui." "Yeah, Nate? Yeah." She looks to you, Edith, says,
"You look like crap."
"I said I didn't care what you did for Marco. But don't go dragging her into it now."
"Your concern is considered."
She goes back and begins washing the dishes.
"I think we need to do something about last night." And now Tui pulls the sleeve up on the arm that had struck Jimmy, which had been coated in something. And this is going to be... she probably wiped it off at some point, you know, overnight when she was waking up in the morning. But this is her first time kind of taking a glance at it. So I could roll insight or you could just describe what I see.
As you pull that sleeve back, your arm is bruised, but it's not so much the arm you should be worried about. It's as you pull that back, is it a nightie you're wearing?
It's a big like silk robe.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be draped off of a shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as you pull it back, we see it drape off your shoulder and you can see there the light tooth marks. But up by your shoulder, still poised, hanging in your skin, is one long canine with the root still attached.
Tui is going to pluck it out.
It is grotesque. It is a human tooth, though, not monstrous in any way, except the color is deeply stained, and the root, the red bloody root, is purplish, tinted with that lavender color.
"The two of you stop staring at me like that. I am not a little girl, nor am I a damsel in distress."
Ans takes a closer look at the tooth to see if there's that new color inside.
Cool. Roll insight regular.
Wow. Insightful Hans. That's a 7.
Cool. I would like to invite you to name this new color that is somewhere between lavender and magenta on the spectrum.
I was hoping somebody else would do that. Lie lavender.
Oh, God.
Lie genta. That's not, that one exists. I know it. I have learned all the colors.
Lavons.
Lie lavender.
Somewhere between lilac and lavender.
Oh, man.
There are many threads here in Cuba that concern me. There is Marco, the mafia man, who we are inextricably tied up in. There is Amanda Erswile, who may or may not be connected to the supply of rat poison that Carmen ordered shortly before John Doe disappeared and ended up dead. Jimmy Russell, or what Jimmy Russell used to be, is still out there.
As Tui is discussing this, Edith takes one of the napkins from the table and gestures to take the canine from Tui.
She discreetly passes it to her.
Mm-hmm. I think Hans, part of the end of campaign consequence that I've had, Hans is now addicted to the lavender snow and has been taking it every morning, just a little bit off the top of what. So Hans woke up this morning
just
and took
a little something to take the edge off.
Took some lavender snow. So what was the stats to that?
Take one insight minus
two last time. Oh, I guess it's a little bit.
You took a massive line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minus one finesse plus one insight.
Would Edith notice that he's an addict now?
I've done a lot of drugs.
Roll an insight, Edith. Let's see.
8.
You recognize what's going on with Hans, but I think this creates a twinge of guilt in you, Edith, because
I started it.
You started it?
Yeah.
And you've also been spreading it around the city. You've been distributing it. So I would like you to take, well, it's just the guilt, but take one mental strain.
Look, I saw the lye lavender on that tooth, and I'm not sure exactly why, but I think I can see it now, wherever it is. So if wherever we decide to go today has some connection to the lye lavender, then I'll know.
Listen, there's something else that we got to think about here. You both saw what happened to Jimmy Russell. We all know what happened to him. Nobody else is going to know what happened to him. And all that it looks like right now is that we offed him.
I mean, maybe, but there was that house. Remember the woman that screamed?
Ah, crap, you're right.
Jimmy clearly was not in his right mind that night. I have seen people on many, many powerful drugs, and never have I seen somebody recover from what he recovered from. Who knows if he is even dead? And if there is no body, there is no crime.
Tui's right.
Then that means we gotta check for a body, don't it?
Yeah, I think we can cleanly montage out into the street where the car crash has attracted the attention of a few neighborhood children who have been just crowding around looking at it. I think actually some of them have climbed into it and have been pretending like they've been driving it.
There's a few chickens.
There's a few chickens pecking around.
Juan there lamenting his broken cart?
Oh, and Sunday is the very best day for chicken sales. Everybody loves to make chicken for their mothers on Sunday when they visit home.
Oh, Juan, I'm so sorry. All those chickens, sadly alive and free. Hey, if you're ever looking for a sub, I'm here for you.
Oh, my God.
Can I roll charisma?
Yeah, please roll charisma.
Is there anything
I'm not showing off my hot pod.
Is there anything to read into that?
I mean, I have an end of session consequence. Oh.
Well, I guess you're
That's
just a top.
Six. That's a 6.
Did I just say just a top? I think there's anything.
You can be a sub and a top.
Yes, it's true. What is that, verse?
Nope, it's being a sub top.
Hans, you know I'm very happily married with 6 children. I'm very devoted to my wife and a family man. I'm offended. This is almost like a breach of our friendship to even offer this on a moment when I am mourning the loss of my small business. Do you not even understand the difference between eroticism and economics?
Juan, I don't understand anything anymore. I just need a master to tell me where to go and what to do. That's all I need.
You know, I have to admit, when you initially said sub, like the first moment, I thought you were offering to be his substitute to sell the chicken goods for the day.
No.
And then I quickly realized, looking at Jamie's face, because Jamie understood immediately, and I was like, yes, I understood it all along.
See, I understand.
See.
Well, Juan, I'm sorry about the business. I wish I had money to give you, but all I have is some scraps of chicken feed still left over in my pockets. And he pulls out like a few oats and just kind of tosses them in Juan's direction.
Juan catches them. This will be a start.
It's a start, buddy.
Edith is standing with Tui, and I think they're both looking for any signs of the thing that was Jimmy Russell.
Please roll insight, yeah.
Both of us, or just one of us?
Can I say, I'm looking for Mr. Gatsby. I'm looking for the thing that was Jimmy Russell.
Yeah, ask the kids. Ask the kids, I think so.
So if you're asking the kids, I'm looking for environmental clues.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I suppose Hans, after having that conversation with Juan, also looks around, sees if he can find any light lavender.
Yeah, I'm going to go over to the car. Hey, kids, you see anything kind of weird around here? Maybe a guy that doesn't look quite right. You know, he's had one too many, and then Edith signs, like, drinking. Mm-hmm. 12, baby.
Wow.
I'm really... These information rolls, I've been doing freaking well on those.
And Dean, just to help you out, Tui is doing a one over of the I'm prying my eyes open for those of us who are only listening and not watching the live stream. She's given a once over to the environment, and I also rolled a 12. So you can just package
nice.
All of our little plot hits into one.
Wow. I think Hans also kicks the deflated tire and says, he rolled a 9.
That's the first time we've had a dual 12 in a while.
Yeah, wow. So this is on the cobblestones right outside the old fortress, right? Which is, the fortress is set up, it actually has a moat. It's a star fortress with a moat and then a wall around it.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
You, Tui, so concerned about that, what had gotten on you last night. You look and you can find a light trail of ooze leading from maybe 10 meters further down the length that someone might have been flown after being struck.
In theory.
And this light ooze, which still glistens a little lilavander.
Okay, I like that emphasis.
Yeah, it still has a lilavander glisten to it. It makes its way almost like the trail of a snail right up against the edge of the wall around the corner to where the drawbridge is currently drawn. And right now it's just a vast opening down into the moat. And you see, as you lean over that sort of fear of heights inducing height down into the water below, you see that snail-like trail go down the cliffside, down to the moat.
I'm now starting to get just the mindset of snails or Cthulhu-like creatures with the amount of times we've described this man as a snail.
Eye stalks.
Yeah.
You also notice, you got a full 12, you see that this is a star moat. There's also, this is right on the ocean, and there are, what would you call it, a small stream or passageway between the moat and the external ocean. The moat is filled with seawater.
Right. And there's like the water gate.
Yes.
Sorry, not water gate.
Yeah, what are those
the
called?
Gateway to the portcullis. The portcullis.
Yeah.
Oh,
portcullis.
Yes. Is there actually a grate, or is there just a river?
Not a portcullis, just a, the moat is permeable with the ocean.
Got
surrounding.
Goes to the ocean.
Portcullis. Because it's like a cullis, but water travels through it.
No, a portcullis, that I think means
the
actual gate.
It's the gate that comes down like an arm.
Oh,
so rather, yeah.
Yeah.
But
so the water passeth through.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And as far as your 12.
Could I perhaps, since we have a little bit of context already from Tui's 12, maybe could I get some context about the shot that went through the window?
Oh, yeah. This is how all orphans sounded here in Cuba, actually. there was some kind of gangster out here last night, because Maria over here, someone shot a hole right through her house's window. Nobody was hurt, thankfully, but I remember hearing the gangster walking. He sounded really trashed, really, like, early this morning. He sounded like, he had a really nasally voice. And he sounded like he was really hopped up on something. He said, "They're really gonna get it this time."
Mm. For a second, Dean, you thought we wouldn't remember your little character voices,
yeah.
But I did. I do remember which character that is.
He was heading towards the center of town.
Okay, I'm gonna roll out some pesos from my pocket and kind of distribute it to the kids around me and say, "Hey, you know what? You did good. You did good with this information. And you said this guy went to the center of town, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You kids have some time today. Whenever you go to the center of town, mention that this gangster that you had heard, who was out here last night, his name is Fernando. Go ahead, spread his name around a bit.
Federico.
Go ahead and spread his name around.
The intention was there. The intention was there. Fernando's our rising star. We will not harm
Fernando. Lube salesman, rising star, Federico, terrible.
And
if you had rolled, I'm going to tell you right now, if you had rolled anything other than a perfect 12, I 1000% would have spread that rising star Fernando is a wanted criminal.
And maybe mention that he was doing some lazy driving here last night. I mean, check this car out. Am I right, kids?
Boy, I'll say, yeah.
Don't cluck with Edith.
And the children run off.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
And the ink gets all over their hands.
No.
Absolutely trashed. The mafia guy crashes boss's car. Crazy.
So cringe.
How cringe is that?
How cringe of him.
This 1930s BuzzFeed.
What are your plans for the car?
I want to kick the plates off.
Okay.
I'm operating under the assumption that there are similar cars that also circulate around Cuba that look alike. And the only way you're able to distinguish them is from the identification somewhat. So if maybe the identification's kicked off, I mean, you wouldn't really know.
You kick it off.
I'd also love to loot the car. Like, is there anything in the glove compartment? Is there anything left in the car we didn't grab last night?
You look, and crucially, you look especially in the trunk, which you knew that, like, how quickly everything was moved last night. This probably should have, like, a dusting of chicken feed or maybe some lavender snow in it. It is picked clean, though you do notice some chicken droppings.
Wow, those chickens ate good last night.
I have some bad news. Somebody beat us to the car and cleaned out the back seat, and so there it is.
Well, all I can say is there's probably a few chickens that are hopping around here pretty pretty happy at the moment.
Pretty smiley, if I do say so myself.
Oh, God. And Edith kind of absentmindedly kicks the plate into the moat.
Ooh, can I do the other one?
Sure, Hans, go for it.
Hans just kicks the plate clean off. I'm going to check my factory worker background when I employ force on the environment to my benefit. I take inspiration.
Incredible.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to remind you, Hans, I think in this moment, as you kick it out, you feel you were kind of depressed after all of this, becoming addicted to a substance, all these horrible things that have happened. But as you kick it and it goes spinning and gleaming and falls down, I think you remember that Paula had invited you to work out at the gym of the Sevilla Biltmore.
Oh no, I stood up Paula. Is there time? Should I go back? No, there's more important things to be done. I just, I really feel worthless. I think I'm ruining all the bridges that I've been creating for myself here. I don't know what my career is going to turn out to.
Aunt, pull yourself together. Paula is a grown woman. She's got a good head on her shoulders. Any reasonable person in their right mind with clear thinking would forgive you for something like this. There are bigger problems that we must be dealing with right now.
Right. Like the monster that we almost killed us last night. Like the car that we crashed. Hey, by the way, I mean, I know we're going to leave this one here and like say it wasn't ours, but does that mean we're going to try to get another one to show to Marco so that he thinks that we didn't steal it?
Listen, you let me deal with Marco, okay? And don't go blabbing about any of this to him. You understand me, Hans?
Any of the monster that we saw or the car that we crashed or the drugs that I've been doing of his?
Exactly. None of that. Don't talk about any of that with him. Let me deal with it.
Okay, I'll try.
Oh, Tui has a sudden moment of realization, and by that I mean Jamie has a sudden moment of remembrance. Tui removes the photographs handed to her last night from her her bra, I guess. Like, where would I don't know. Story-wise, she put them in her bra instinctively. She forgot about them in her sleep. She didn't change her bra. It's been a long night. Pulls them out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a look at these photographs.
Look at Jimmy this photograph.
Look at this graph.
Yeah, you notice these are every single photograph of you, Tui, specifically. Even the ones where it's the three of you together with the chickens and the cock. It's every single copy. The ones which are missing are the photos of the other two where they were doing solo shots.
Hmm. Anything amiss with the photos, or is it just weird that it's just me?
You've turned them over, and the best photo, the one of you in the bathtub blowing the bubble, scrawled in shaky handwriting, as though he were struggling to keep control. I think it says, Jimmy owes you one. I'm sorry.
So nothing unusual at face value.
Nothing unusual about the photos.
Oh my, how uneasy I feel. I do hope that our friend Jimmy, I do not know. I'm having a hard time understanding how to proceed with him. I do believe it is best we pay a visit to perhaps Carmen, someone that I have big questions for.
So, I think you indeed decide to maybe head to the Sevilla Biltmore to speak to Carmen.
Talking to Carmen is going to be hard for me. Edith, Tui, I have something to tell you. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to Carmen, let alone even see her right now, based off of what happened yesterday.
What happened?
I'll tell you later. Ons, don't worry about it. I'll take care of Carmen, all right?
Okay. Can I at least watch, like, stand in the background and look menacing and strong? I've got to show her that I'm going on without her, okay? I just... Let me do this.
Okay. If it's what you want to do.
Hans, like, gets down and does 30 push-ups quickly and says, okay, I'm ready.
It's funny you should mention that, because as you're walking into the lobby of the Sevilla Biltmore.
No. Paula.
You see Paula there.
Oh. Hans stands up and says, Paula. Paula, I'm so sorry. There was other things.
Hey, no worries, man. I was just going to say sorry, too. A wild night last night. And you can see there's bags under her eyes as well. She says, I literally just got here. Are you still down to work out?
Oh, Paula. Yeah. I mean, that sounds way better. Hey, do you mind if I go work out with Paula?
You know what?
You should bring your friends with.
You guys want to come work out? Oh my God. Suddenly I feel so much better.
Why the hell not? I got to blow off some steam anyway. Let's go, Tui.
Jamie is actually upset.
When in Cuba...
You enter the elevator. You go down past the casino.
I mean, as they're standing in there, it's not normal, I would assume, for Paolo to look that tired.
Yeah, as you're getting out of the elevator, Paolo takes your arm and says, thanks, by the way. I had to use that shotgun.
Was it Federico?
How'd you guess?
Okay. All right. I'll take care of it.
Tui doesn't hear the whispering, but she is a former spy, so she clocks it. But she can't hear what's being said. Sure.
Hans is like, what am I going to do first? Oh my God, I can't wait for endorphins to happen, or squats, or push-ups, or sit-ups.
And he's doing this, and Tui's going, mm-hmm, yes, not listening to him.
But Let's clear our heads right now and just work out.
You're right. Honestly, I could use it. Thanks for inviting us. And Edith kind of, like, very lovingly, like, pats Paola on the back. Like, I think Paola is, like, number one, like, non-immediate trio friend that Edith's got there.
So this gym that you've entered is an old school gym. We've got the old big spherical barbells. We even have sort of the newest technology, a combination treadmill slash exercise bike. So one person does the exercise bike, which moves the treadmill for someone else to work out.
Are there ladies doing the, like, the shake thing where there's, like, the strap that goes around their waist that just, like, shakes?
I think, is that the era for it? That's hilarious.
What is the shake thing? Please describe it.
It's like exactly what I just explained. It's just a band.
It's the dumbest. There used to be, quote, women's equipment at gyms where it would not do anything. They were called shapers or whatever. And it would be like a band that vibrates because it's supposed to, like, make you firmer and more toned. But it's literally just this lap band that goes around your stomach and vibrates.
Yeah, you just stand there.
This sounds like, don't judge me, this sounds very soothing. I would like to be put into the shaper band.
Oh, it's definitely like, it's probably a good massage, but it's like not a workout remotely.
I didn't say I wanted to work out.
Does it
I would
move?
Never say
is this electric?
Or yes.
I'll show you.
So there's like a motor. I think the ladies normally like face the motor and it goes around their back and it just like, it just kind of vibrates back and forth.
I think this is a more high-tech gym. So there's a cluster of about, women work out in the 1930s. It literally says this. Oh my gosh, this is so cool.
This is the first time I've ever been right about anything in history.
Oh, I do know this.
There's an incredible, like, one of those 1950s videos where it's got the British announcer, and it talks about these bits of equipment that help women tone their bodies.
It's the shake weight of the 30s.
It is.
We will throw that image up on Discord. Yes, there are multiple of those machines there, and I think there's some folks shimmying away.
This one beats against your back.
Oh my god! Oh my god! These are
Tui. That's a kink machine.
Tui looks at all of the women's exercise equipment, which is designed to make a woman look like her. She walks right by it and starts doing bicep curls at the weight station.
And Paola looks to Hans and says, "So you think you can handle my sequence?"
Oh, any day of the week. Yeah, tell me everything. What do you do? You have such a great physique. Look at your arms. Han squeezes them and is like, yeah, thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, thick.
Oh, God. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
What, did that displease you?
It was that was like peak zero. Peak zero right there.
Jamie is happy with himself.
Yeah, roll a physique, Hans.
Oh, yeah. Paola, want those arms.
7.
I want to put this out there that if we train in the gym, can we get a bonus?
Hey.
I mean, why not? You know, if vices give you negatives, then this should give you a bonus.
I think +7 to physique sounds fair.
If it's Paola's workout.
Paola puts you through the ringer.
That's astounding.
You are using free weights, of course, lifting up massive, massive bicep curls. What are the other things called?
Bench presses.
Bench presses,
There's the giant, like, medicine balls with handles that me and Paola are, like, tossing back and forth to each other.
The endorphins flood through your system.
Oh, this feels so good. Oh, Paola, yeah, tell me what to do. Tell me more. Oh, Paola, I'll do anything you say.
All right, get on that machine over there, and we'll have it start beating you out.
Yes,
what,
master.
We can talk about this on After Crits, but what are the ethics of someone getting sexual pleasure from submitting to someone who does not know that they are in a psychologically dominant position to the sub, who is directly deriving sexual pleasure.
We can talk about this on After Crits.
Paola may know.
This is above my pay grade.
But Ons, take one physical strain because you are getting worked out. You're going back and forth.
Yeah, and hurt me, Paola.
And I want you to actually remove your lavender bonus, because you're sweating out the drugs and you're feeling good. You're feeling a very natural high. And I think you're feeling flexible. You're a beefy guy, but you're usually not that flexible. And she's got you doing stretches and whatnot. So I want you to increase your finesse by one temporarily.
Okay.
Tui, you're going for the bicep curls. Yeah, I'll allow you to increase your physique by one temporarily. And Edith, talk to me about what kind of workout's happening.
You know, I want to do something that lends itself to dexterity a little bit. And I think Edith goes for the two hugely weighted ropes that are attached to the back wall that are on the ground. And she's like slapping them in an alternating rhythm as they go. And she, Edith, has needed to let off some steam for a bit. And I think this is helping her pretty substantially. Like, last night packed a punch in more ways than one, and this gives her a chance to zone out a little bit and just focus on the physicality.
Yeah, all right. You're really pushing for more extra finesse?
Well, how about either extra finesse or I take one off mental?
Oh, you want to heal. You want to get out the anger. I've got a lovely idea. Yes, I think you get out that anger. Remove one mental strain, and as you do so, you hear... Oh, wow, such fury. I haven't seen this much anger since the last war. And you turn back and Amanda Erstwhile is there in a gorgeous workout, the baggy, full, early sweatsuits.
Edith pauses a moment in her rhythmic roping. Exercise. It's rhythmic roping. I was like, what do I call this? Rhythmic roping. I guess, would I recognize Amanda? I wasn't really focused on her at the party.
No. But because the blood's pumping through your system and she's, as aforementioned, rather attractive in this workout garb, has the tight blonde curls, bright green eyes.
Well, he said attractive and he knows exactly what sets Edith off.
Attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Just my type.
Attractive.
Would you mind showing me how it's done?
Edith straightens up a little bit, rolls her sleeves back more, is getting a little sweat on the back of her neck, and says, come on over, I'll show you how it's done.
Can we play into this for just a few moments? As she takes these heavy ropes in her hands, she says, she looks at you with wide eyes, these ropes are so rough. Am I really supposed to beat them again and again?
Over and over. And Edith gently wraps her hands around Amanda's, showing her the proper placement on the ropes, and says, you know, hands like these, you're a woman that knows culture. You don't have to work very hard at the typical labors that the rest of us get. But you know, when you do, such as at this moment.
Roll a moxie.
I would also love to say, I'm not doing anything about it, but at this point, can I say Tui has turned to survey and find her teammates and sees and recognizes
Tui is clocked.
Amanda and how Amanda is all up on Edith.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
She blushes. I am a member of the bourgeoisie, born into wealth.
Guilty as charged.
And sometimes I need rougher hands to show me around this world. And she, as she begins lifting and beating these, which I think you're holding her hands, helping her, showing her how it done, she makes a point of shimmying back into your embrace, pressing against you as we hear the rhythmic slap, slap, slap.
Oh my.
Has it been a minute?
Yeah, a long time. Yeah, really long time.
Imagine.
Oh man, if anybody would just grab some ropes with me.
Yeah, you know, Edith takes a deep inhale. This chick smells good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about this perfume you've never smelled before.
Spooky.
New smell just dropped. I don't want to leave my boy Ons alone.
Oh, I mean, I'm working out.
Just beefing up across the way.
Yeah. This is Hans' natural environment. He's just having a grand time with Paula.
Doing great. You're doing great. Just keep pushing it a little bit more.
When you finish, there's a flush in her face and a brightness in her eyes. And she says, why, you're so capable. I sure would
love to have a pair of hands like yours aboard my yacht. There's always so much work to be done lifting up anchor, weighing anchor, lifting up anchor again as I travel the world, seeking pleasure and food.
Oh, you're very well traveled, I see. Well, you know what? Next time you gotta leave port, why don't you give me a call? The name's Edith.
Well, silly, that's not a phone number, that's a name. How will I call you?
I'm always around.
Ooh, a working class gal with no phone. Here, take my number. She pulls out of her pocket erstwhile chemical, and the title is Eris, and she hands it to you.
Edith takes it and very gently places it against her lips, takes a deep inhale and says, like I said, a woman who shines.
Give me a call if you ever need to get away.
Amanda? From across the gym, Tui calls out her name before bouncing over. Amanda, I thought that was you. Did you meet Edith?
Oh, yes. We were just getting along. She was showing me the ropes.
And did you give her your... Did I just see you give her your number?
Oh, we're just discussing business, a potential employment opportunity.
Now, Amanda, do not lie to me. I know that we had our moment at that party, and I am ashamed at how I acted. And believe it or not, I am very close with Edith, and I could not stop telling her all about you because I knew you two would get along very well. Do not give her your phone number. We want to come by. Give us your address. This is a beguile.
Okay.
And I believe I'm beguiling the rich or powerful to act against her interest by giving this individual her address.
Yeah.
Edith is about to strangle Tui.
Yeah. I was going to say, Edith, take fucking...
You know, girls, you're safe with girls. Edith is a good girl, and I know she may be working class, but you can trust her. She is a good time, right? Whatever that means.
I'm a hell of a great time. Thank you, Tui.
Okay, so I got a 7.
Oh, thank you.
It is a 7. Failed. And I gain inspiration, correct? Which can be spent on a later roll to get a +1.
Yes, you do. You do. Ooh, they'll need some hard reassurance first. I forgot a fun idea. Again, loudly enough for the women having their thighs rubbed by machines to hear, says,
oh, you know I adore you, Tui, but a woman in my position has to be careful who she lets near her home, especially when it's someone as with a checkered past like yours.
Oh, damn, says Hans from the back of the room.
But maybe if you and your friends were to join me for lunch or as we say in the wealthier circles, brunch.
Brunch, yes. Oh, Amanda, it would be our pleasure. Just because I cannot give you what you want does not mean that want should not be fulfilled.
Did somebody say there's going to be free food? I'm there.
You know,
Hans runs up.
I think...
Paul is very confused.
I think what Tui and Hans are trying to say, and Edith takes a slightly askew piece of hair from Amanda's head and places it back. I think what they're trying to say is they would be delighted to make your acquaintance as I have.
Oh, excellent. There's a kitchenette in my private suite, and my chef, I'm never without her, Ariel, she makes the most delicious breakfast. Or, as we say in my circles, brunch.
Brunch. Oui.
You can even bring your, whoever that is.
As she points with her pinky finger to Paola.
Paola, you want some brunch? Paola, let's go get some brunch. Oh my God.
Hell yeah, I've burned like 900 calories.
God, that's a lot. Wait, when is brunch? Is it now? I'm pretty hungry. Are we going to go now? We need some post-workout food anyway.
I feel so tired and sweaty, and Amanda, a woman about town such as yourself, I'm sure you have something better to do. Plus, it is a little late in the afternoon for brunch. Perhaps tomorrow, before we are needed on the film set?
Roll a moxie, yeah.
a moxie? Just so you know, if you want me to roll a moxie, that is a very different roll.
Ooh, wait, what is it when you people want to be close to you? No.
But that's
when
not what's happening.
Miguile.
I'll roll right, a moxie. Roll it. If it's if that's what it is, I'll
when
roll
when you
a moxie.
Negotiate with leverage, have you given leverage? When you bluff. Okay, roll up Miguile. Roll up Miguile.
It doesn't feel like metagaming. That does feel apt. Miguile. That's what they call it in France. That's a 10.
You do know, ladies, I need to bow down. I want to wear something nice. I want to respect your house. I did not bring anything nice here to the hotel with me today.
Oh, of course. I just get so excited. I want to indulge in pleasures right away.
And she makes a very knowing glance at Edith.
But I suppose you're right. I mean, if we rise bright and early, I'm sure Ariel can prepare us the catch of the day. The freshest that Cuba, as how they say it, has to offer.
Oh, Amanda, I must say, I am tickled, as always. Now get home safe.
No, you aren't. And she reaches out and tickles you.
Get home safe.
It's right upstairs. I'm sure the elevator won't prove too harrowing an experience.
Edith is just really hoping to be tickled as well.
She's got to leave you hanging. She smiles at you. I think she embraces you, though it's perhaps more sisterly than you would like.
Edith takes another inhale.
And presses her cheek to yours and says, I can't wait to see you soon. And she strides off to the elevator. And oh, the ladies are a Twitter on their machines.
Damn, how do you do it, Edith?
Sometimes I even impress myself, Hans.
So are we eating or what?
I mean, we're not invited to brunch anymore, but you want to go raid the free pastries in the lobby?
Yeah.
Yes, Paola, why don't you go and get some of the good ones, and Hans will join you in a minute.
Well, we burnt like 900 calories. Are you, what? Two, are you trying to get rid of me?
No. I'm just going to be very honest with you, Paola. I have something I need to talk to Hans and Edith about, and she looks around the room. For your own protection, it is best you do not get involved. We care very deeply for you. I ask that you respect this privacy for your own safety.
Hans looks at Paola and says, oh, yeah. Paola, I don't know how to say this, but...
You don't have to. I'm already involved. Federico's body's in my freezer.
You killed someone too?
Gagatrondra!
Wait, what?
Gagatrondra?
She turns to you. Two?
I mean, we may... or may not have killed something last night?
Okay.
Federico is dead.
First off, Hans, you shut up. Second, Paola, when I said I was going to take care of it in the elevator, you know, I told you I was going to take care of it. I didn't realize that you had already taken care of things.
I couldn't stop him. He came in. He was tweaking off something wild. He kept asking for you. He thought that you had stored your stuff there. He kept mouthing, oh, I need the Lylavander. I need the Lylavander. And he wouldn't leave. I tried to fire a warning shot, but you know how shotguns are.
You missed 6 times.
He had it coming. How many musical references are we going to do today?
Too many.
I did miss, but the shot goes everywhere.
She fired a warning shot straight up.
Sawed off shotgun.
It broke a beam on the roof, which crushed Federico's skull.
Okay. All right. We'll take care of the body when we get back. You know, maybe in the future when you inform me of these things, you get a little more in detail with it. You know what I'm saying?
Lee, and maybe in the future when you did kill somebody that we are connected to, you could tell all of us!
I mean, we didn't... okay, so we should just tell everybody when we kill people now?
No.
We should tell each other.
I didn't know Paolo was part of our... Anyway.
Well, I did not know myself, but
And then anime style zoom out. Everyone is staring.
Are we still in the gym?
Yes.
Like,
the ladies just
the dialogue is not hearable, but you can see that they're all really bickering.
Yeah, we cut back to just two old ladies and just the vibration of the as it's just rubbing their ass.
Seeing that people are just kind of staring off in this general direction, and that is what would make the perfect next scene in the film. Am I right, everybody? Let's go talk about it somewhere else.
As you are trying to exit, one of the old ladies dismounts the like butt pummeler and and she says,
"Oh, Miss Tui, would you give me one of your famous signatures? Us and the girls were just talking about what an excellent actress you are."
"Oh, I simply cannot disappoint my fans." And Tui does one of her famous signatures, which is a line from her second film, not her breakout film, but her second film, in which she says, "Now, I will..." Nope, I was going to be too dark. That was going to be too bad. I'll just say it. "And now I will save the world by burning one faggot," in which she saves the planet from an ice age by creating a fire, by setting a bundle of sticks on fire and melting a glacier, which saves the planet. No.
The other gay approves this message.
Yeah. "Also, don't come for me. I am cognizant of the origin of the slur faggot. I know my queer history. You know, let the neck hairs go down to their normal position."
"Oh, you know, me and the girls, we don't care what they say about faggots. I just love the way that Mussolini has put them on his flag. I just love when they have those bundles of sticks all tied up together."
"Ah, yes. Don't we all? Now, I'm sure you'll understand a girl like me is very busy and I must be on my way."
Okay. Okay,
she totters back. I'm thinking,
you
know, the mayor's assistant in Powerpuff Girls,
Miss Bellum,
1,000,000%,
Sarah Bellum. "Oh, mayor."
"Well, yes, Miss Bellum."
Wow, that was not bad.
She's the voice actress.
Are we in private yet? Are the four of us in private?
The
yet?
Four of you, yeah. You walk out to the elevator, and as the doors close, the four of you are alone in the elevator shaft.
Okay.
Or the three of you and Paola.
Okay, now that we seem to be in the thick of this, Paola, we seem to have killed something last night, but we just discovered earlier that it turns out it's not dead, and it probably slugged its way into the ocean. We're not quite sure. We also know that Federico is dead, so we got to take care of that. Any other things that we need to debrief each other on?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Go ahead, Tui. Honestly, I think you should go.
You're so sweet. You always.
All right, I'll go.
For the next floor is there.
The blender's on the fritz again. One of the spray shotgun shots hit the blender, and now it's not working.
Did you try to blend the body?
Oh my God, wait.
Do not answer Paola, that.
Paola, that is not the best
way. No.
Spread the DNA.
If the blender's already on the fritz, then you don't want to go and spray in everybody.
I will buy you a new blender. Do not answer that question. I will buy you a new blender. Paola, do not answer that question.
Okay, so there's Fernando soup just in the freezer. Got it.
Okay. Also, we are in this building. We cannot go to brunch with Amanda before we pay a visit to Carmen. They are connected somehow, and I want to know what she did with the poison before I go to the source of the poison.
Okay, so we're going to pay Carmen a visit, and then we're going to get ready for tomorrow morning's brunch. Anything else?
Oh, I have a question.
What's your question, Hans?
Was Federico especially wet or soggy?
What the hell's the matter with you, Hans?
I it seems like there's some connection to the water here. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I just have some more insight.
Wait, that actually makes sense. I'm a little perturbed.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
I know, right?
I was right twice today?
He was pretty sticky. He was covered in some kind of juices. I don't know. He's in the freezer right now. You gotta help me get rid of him. You said you're good at getting rid of bodies.
Okay,
I guess,
I'm gonna help you get rid
Hans
of him.
Hans got drunk and told me the story about when Eric found the body on set and you got rid of it right away.
Hans, what the hell?
I'm sorry. I have loose lips when I'm drunk, okay?
Ding, the next floor.
Every muscle in your body is turned except for your lips, aren't they?
Well, thank you for that backhanded compliment, Tui.
You know what a backhanded compliment is?
I have been more of mind of late recently, and I don't exactly know why, okay? It's kind of creeping me out.
Ding. Oh my God, my favorite people in
Quick,
the world.
Close the door, press the button.
It's full. The elevator is filled. I'm so sorry, Eric.
Okay, I'll see you on set tomorrow. Okay,
yeah, bye.
Bye, Eric. Bye-bye. Say hi to Erica for me.
Is that mommy?
Hi, Erica. Oh.
That was one of the finest examples of a no in improv that I've heard in a while. Just a hard no.
Paola, we need to go and pay a visit to Calman. Can you go back to La Bambadera and keep that body safe and sound and secret and not blended while we are gone?
Yeah, I can take care of that. I mean, the blender's on the fritz, so it wouldn't be able to... Yeah.
Okay. The ding door opens. We've gone up and down again.
We didn't push a button, so it kept like going to where other
people, wanted it. And now we are on floor 6. As you step off, she's just like, I'll go down. I'll see you there soon. She makes direct eye contact with you, Hans.
I mean, Hans looks at Edith and Tui, fully not knowing when we're going to meet back at La Bombadera.
Listen, I'm gonna be there after I finish over here, okay?
And
I'm going to help you with the body.
Soonish. Expect us, if we're not back by tomorrow, call the cops.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Don't call the cops.
No!
All right. I will let you roll against it. You have, this is, I mean, come
on. What do I even roll?
Just roll insight. Roll just classic insight.
That's a 4.
Yep. The door's closed.
Make sure you call the cops.
I will. I'm sure my players know that if you are not back by tomorrow, the cops are on their way.
Tui is glowering at Hans.
What?
You know what you did.
You know what? I don't think he did, though. I really don't. Remember, write twice a day. I think he's used up both times at this point.
But you go to room 63, I think.
I thought it was 61.
61? Anyway. And
y'all have been listening to the story. We go to Carmen's room.
Yeah. I don't know why. You go to Carmen's room.
Very important.
And the door is ajar. And you can hear noises inside.
Is there purring?
Okay.
There better not be.
Is there mewing?
Okay.
Is there gentle clawing being heard?
I would like you to roll one more insight. Ons. I don't want to see if he acts on his paranoia.
Is this a reverse insight?
This is a regular insight.
Okay, I'm going to use my factory worker, my inspiration. Oh, hey, that's an 8.
Your ears detect no purring, just the gentle humming of a twink.
good differentiation.
You know it's not the catboy. Okay. Guaranteed not the catboy.
Hans steals himself, takes a deep breath, and says, okay. I think I can handle this. Edith, Tui, go first, please.
You got it. When the door is ajar, I think I do a gentle rapping on the side of the wall. Say, Miss Common?
The door opens and Adrian's standing there. And he says, oh, back again so soon.
Yeah, you got that right. Working on some room service in here, Adrian?
Just cleaning up. Carmen left in a huff last night.
Oh, that's kind of weird. And
cleaned out the closet too. And he points to the closet, which is a big walk-in. You notice in this suite, wow, this closet is bigger than a lot of apartments. And he said, yeah, craziest thing. That thing was packed full of the hottest Lukes when she was here.
We're all in the room now and it's just him.
You're all in the room now. It's just him. The bedclothes are all tousled.
Did you see Hale unpacking or packing and leaving?
I didn't, but the bellhop said it was some of the best tips they've ever gotten. She had maybe 15, 16 suitcases. I think she left town, but left some good shit behind for the bellhops. And he holds a finger up to his nose. Half decent tip, you know?
Can Hans see any lavender?
Ooh, roll. Okay, I know this is the third time I've asked just you to roll insight, but do it.
I'd also like to check out the room and see if there's anything been left behind.
Yeah, investigate.
Wow. Suddenly very insightful, Hans.
Wow.
8.
Yeah, Hans, you walk almost in a haze past the bed where...
I could still see the imprint. Look, there's claw marks. That's disgusting. Is that a brown stain? Okay, I'm gonna...
Okay, and you see... the bedside table, yes, there is the light dusting of lavender.
How did I say?
You said
lavender.
A light dusting of lavender, not like enough that you could do, like literally dust. Mm.
So it looks like they were taking this last night.
I got 4.
You got a 4?
Yeah.
Fuck. You know what? I'm going to do what Cthulhu Dark suggests, which is when people fail investigation rolls, you just hurt them and you let them see it. So,
what is Cthulhu Dark? Tell me later.
Yeah, I'll talk about it on After Crits. It's one of the major inspirations for this system, but it's actually lighter than this system, and so it's not. Edith, you walk into the closet, and you imagine all the outfits here, all the changes, all the transformations. You're entering kind of a fugue state, and your eyes alight on something in the corner. And you walk over, and you know what it is even before you pick it up, but you can't stop yourself from doing it. You reach down, and you pick up a green-gray bicuspid with the root still attached. Please take 2 mental strain.
Jesus.
Tui's going to go to Adrian and look him in the eyes and say, "Oh, coming left in the huff? Well, I hope it did not have to do with the fight we had with her. I had something terribly important to tell her. And oh, please, Adrian, if you or if anybody else has any clues as to where she may have gone, please tell us immediately, because my heart will break if I cannot see her very, very soon." This is a beguile. Ooh. Okay, that is an 8.
Cool. Of course, Miss Rad, I can have the hotel call you if there's any developments. Unfortunately, she didn't leave a forwarding address. She left in such a huff, we actually have to fill her spot at the party tonight. I don't know if someone as famous as you might want to show up and do some karaoke or stand up or...
Well, I cannot resist an opportunity like this. I mean, if I wouldn't be intruding.
Oh, no, we've been panicking. Management's furious. Tonight was one of the biggest nights of her contract.
Tui opens the curtains, looks out over the Cuban streets, and then...
sees the poor janitor still trying to scrub up the remains of that poor man.
Yeah, really takes in the vista, and then turns around, tossing her hair over her shoulder and says, "Well, it is in my charitable nature. Consider your problem solved. I would love to give a performance tonight."
Hey, what's the theme of the party?
Hell if I know. Next episode. I have a whole week to plan.
The theme of the party is themes.
The camera pulls back from those windows, and we see Tui's silhouette there, that curvaceous silhouette with perfect hair. Pans back. We see the multicolored, multi-story Sevilla Biltmore. Beneath it, rising up from the aristocratic houses of every color imaginable. Maybe one might even see a Lyle Evander one. Panning back over the historic streets, back to where the cops, who might be called tomorrow, are currently investigating a smoking hulk of a vehicle on the edge of the old, old fortress. That is that episode. We'll be back next week with more investigation, more fucked up shit, and probably stand up or...
You know, who knows?
Wait.
Maybe
stand
a little
up?
Bit of everything.
Wait. Okay. Wait. I got some stand up to test out.
No, not
join
not
us on After Crits for
some stand up.
Some stand up. Bye.
Bye.
In this instructional video, you're going to see how to properly use gym equipment. We're going to have 2 of our big gym favorites come in. And first here, we got good old Hans Bodman.
Hi, I'm Hans Bodman, and this is international movie star Tui Rat. Hey, Tui, looking flabby.
Notice how the actors egg each other on to, in the spirit of camaraderie, get the other to work out. Because, you know, if you're going to be on the big screen, you got to make sure that you're nice and toned. And here's how they do it.
And I know that you are trapped in the mindset in which your body defines your wealth, and I am not. However, as your friend, I'm here to say working out will make you feel happy.
But all you need to do to lessen that flab is get inside of the Butt Slammer 2000. What did you say? The Butt Pummeler 3000.
And make sure that you surround yourself with friends and family and a support system that will help you divorce yourself from the thoughts that your physical body determines your wealth.
For women and men. And look at my butt go.
So they call this, when your brain gets happy and it makes the rest of your body happy too, the scientists call those endorphins. And watch as our two actors today get on these butt pummelers and they release endorphins.
Oh yes, I feel all of my endorphins being released in this moment.
This feels amazing. Wow, I can feel the calories being shake right now.
Thank you, Butt Pummel. I feel amazing.
And you know, if you yourself want to have a butt pummeler in your home, go ahead and call the number at the bottom of this screen and ask for Eric Zahn.
Call the number and ask for Eric. You need to overlay that with harmonies.
Okay. You know, wow. Eric, this, what'd you call it? A commercial? You know, I think this is going to be a big hit.
Having is overwhelming. Dying might just be your thing. Smoke is